Thanks, Linda. Health funds have welcomed what the federal government is calling the biggest shakeup the industry has ever seen. Facing dwindling sign-ups and people dropping out of increasingly expensive coverage, the government has swung the axe, mandating price cuts for procedures including hip replacements and pacemakers, while removing taxpayer support for alternative therapies like homeopathy and yoga. It says the changes will make insurance premiums cheaper for households. But the CEO of Medibank Private, Craig Drummond, admits they're unlikely to dent the massive price hikes we've seen in recent years. I spoke with Craig Drummond earlier and started by asking whether he could promise all savings will be passed on to households.
We will pass through 100% of the savings that are realised from this package. And I think the government has called out $188 million of benefit to the industry from lower prosthesis prices in the first year. That's what we have visibility on in the first year, and we have given a commitment to pass 100% of that back.
How will that be split through your customer base, though? Can we expect that younger people will see a bigger discount than older?
The prosthesis prices will be reductions will be evenly split through our customer base. But to be clear, there is a very attractive aspect of today's package, which offers up to a 10% discount for young people taking out private health insurance, those before the age of 30 taking out private health insurance. And there's also, combined with that, a mental health reform in PHI. We are incredibly supportive of that because we often see the scenario where young people take out private health insurance policy. They have a basic policy, and when they have a mental health issue, they don't have the coverage that they want. This will enable them, if they have a mental health issue, to upgrade their policy without any waiting time.
This year we've seen a price rise of 4.9% for health insurance policies. That seemed to hit the uptake of policies. Can we expect, because of today's announcement, that in a couple of years we won't see such large increases?
So, Carrington, we delivered a 4.6% price increase in the last year, which was our lowest for 15 years. Now, the prosthesis changes that have been announced today will, all things being equal, lead to, somewhere slightly less than, but close to about a 1% reduction of any price change that would normally have occurred. I'm not going to speculate on what the price change might be in the year ahead, because there is a formal process that we go through with APRA, the Department of Health and government, and we're just coming into that process now. But rest assured, as soon as we are in a position with government to release whatever price changes may be ahead, we will do so. But to be very clear, 100% of that reduction in prosthesis prices will flow through, because affordability for customers is absolutely the key issue, and that's why we're so pleased with what has been announced today.
Craig Drummond, though, as you've just pointed out yourself, that this doesn't go anywhere near the price increases that we have seen in recent years. Is it fair to say these suite of changes do not go far enough to address the huge increases that people have been paying?
Carrington, I'd say this is step one, and the minister has been very clear that while this has been a very encouraging first step, that there is a considerable amount of work to be done, and that's why we're encouraged with the announcement today of additional government committees to look at issues, for example, like low value care, which has been, or inefficient care or inefficient care settings, which has been adding to the cost of care and therefore private health insurance premiums. That is fundamental, and we must make progress on taking out the inefficient care, and we need to do it carefully with proper clinical advice, proper expert advice. But we're very confident that if we address this issue, plus we make transparency, which this package goes to, transparency more available on things like out-of-pocket costs, that will go a long way towards delivering a better outcome for our customers.
Craig Drummond, we have seen the industry's growth rate drop from some 3.7% back in 2011-2012 to just 1.35%
in 2015, 2016. Have you continued to see the rate of growth fall off? And how confident are you that that can be turned around?
Carrington, I think it's fair to say that households, and we hear our customers, and I sit with our customers every week. I'm in either our contact centres or in our stores, and I was in Tasmania earlier this week. Our customers are telling us that things are tight. They've seen quite significant increases, as we know, in utility prices, in a range of household expenditures at a time when income growth is very low. So we absolutely understand that this affordability issue that this package addresses has been impacting on the take-up and participation of private health insurance. And we, like the rest of the industry, are very focused, as is government, on trying to increase participation because that will take pressure off the public system. And so, look, what I can say at the moment is that the system, growth rates in the system and participation are pretty flat. And we'd like to see participation increase, and that's why affordability is absolutely central.
Medibank private boss Craig Drummond there. Commonwealth Bank boss Ian Narev is preparing for his latest parliamentary grilling next week. And the CEO under scrutiny will be hoping a new low-rate credit card will soften up the pollies and the public. But there's one place he'd be guaranteed to receive a more rosy reception: in the schoolyard, where dedicated Dolomite devotees are busy banking. Parents and children continue to embrace the school program, but consumer advocates question whether big banks should be recruiting in the classroom. Stephanie Chalmers reports.
For more than 85 years, Australian schools have been letting the Commonwealth Bank into their grounds to teach children about managing money. CBA is the dominant player in the space, but young bankers, like Year 6 student Megan Harrison, don't mind it's the dominant player at their school.
They're all just banks, and they're all just where you put your money, and there's nothing really different about any of them, I think, so it doesn't matter.
But not all banks are equal, according to Erin Turner from Consumer Group Choice.
They're not offering people the best deal. These aren't the best kids' bank accounts in the market.
The Dolomites characters capture the imaginations of young students, giving CBA the first mover advantage. A survey by Choice found 46% of Australians opened their first account with Commonwealth, and most haven't left. Erin Turner again.
We found that the first account that someone gets matters. Over a third of people still hold that first account.
Justin Vague opened his Dolomites account when he was in year one, and now in his late 20s, he hasn't looked elsewhere.
I guess from that stage I was locked in through that, and my parents are both with CBA, and it was just easy to continue on that process.
For CBA, the investment in primary school students delivers healthy returns when they stay on and expand their financial footprint. Justin Vague is a classic example.
With CBA, I have a term deposit, I have another savings account and a credit card. They just make it very easy to open all of those.
Commonwealth Bank has over 326,000 kids active in its Dolomites program, and it's the main financial institution for over 40% of 14 to 17-year-olds. The bank was invited into classrooms back when it was publicly owned, but CBA is now very much for profit, and it keeps the invitation warm by giving kickbacks to schools, tied to the number of students who sign up and how much they deposit. CBA has now committed to changing the way payments are made to no longer link them to the value of students' deposits. But Erin Turner says Choice is demanding more.
That's a welcome first step, but it can't be the only step. What we need to do is see commitments from CBA about marketing material and, ultimately, getting out of schools.
Education expert Dr. Carly Sawatsky says it should be the job of teachers to train kids about money, not banks.
I'm very apprehensive about giving brands exposure in schools, and I'm very motivated to see teachers equipping students with capabilities for critical thinking.
But for parents like Ingrid Socrates, they don't mind the bank's involvement.
I had my Dolomite account as a child, and I no longer bank with that bank anymore. And so I just thought, really, it's about saving, it's not about the bank.
Its youngest bankers are customers CBA is hoping it can count on.
Stephanie Chalmers reporting there. Turning to the markets, and the ASX has had a strong Friday, experiencing its best week since March. The government might say that consumers are the winners from today's private health changes, but investors are betting that companies will profit. Health stocks helping to drive the ASX 200 0.33% higher. And the Australian dollar is currently buying 78.3 US cents. That's all from Business PM. I'm Carrington Clark. Have a good night.